Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
As we begin 2026 and the 22nd year of these radio broadcasts, let me start by wishing all of you a very happy and healthy new year on behalf of all of us at the Montana Family Foundation. Let's also stop for a moment and recognize the fact that 2026 marks the 250th anniversary of the founding of our nation. Technically, it's the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but it's also worth noting that our Constitution, which took effect in 1789, is the second oldest constitution in existence. It's a really big deal and something worth celebrating. Since we've started these broadcasts in 2004, we've had a front row seat to the changes taking place, not just here in Montana, but in the nation as a whole. Now, two decades later, major forces are at work seeking to change the very fabric of who we are as a nation. We've redefined marriage and families, and now the big push is to redefine what it means to be male or female, or worse yet, what it means to be human. It's all happening so fast, but there's an upside. All of these crazy debates in Helena and Washington, D.C. force us to stop and re-examine what we believe and why we believe it. It's no longer acceptable to believe that our system of values and societal norms will continue unchanged simply because things have always been that way. In the face of massive social upheaval, it's time to remind ourselves how we got to be one of the greatest nations ever to have existed. We have to ask what made us different and what will sustain us for another 250 years, and it's not as easy as it sounds. We are a nation deeply divided, and as it says in the Gospel of Mark, a house divided against itself cannot stand. For a nation to stand, it has to agree upon and be governed by a common set of beliefs and rules laid out in a constitution. According to John Adams, our constitution was made only for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. George Washington, in his farewell address, took it a step further, saying, quote, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens," end quote. He concluded by saying, quote, "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle," end quote. This is what sets the United States apart from other nations like France, which has had 16 constitutions over the past 250 years. Those who see our government as little more than a great equalizer or the great redistributor of wealth miss the point. Good government is so much more. My prayer for 2026 is that we as a nation would resist the calls to redefine who we are as a people and to return to God and to His principles that have served this nation so well for so long. Only then will we stand a chance of surviving another 250 years intact as a beacon of hope and freedom for other nations to follow. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628
for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and a few showers around the area into the day today, otherwise seeing some breaks of sun later on as well. High temperature readings will stay back in the mid upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid 50s into the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures head back in the low to mid 30s. Then we'll see a mix of clouds and sun develop Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I don't know if all you guys heard that Sean Hannity commercial there. The pasta sauce, the poke at Linda there. That was a funny commercial there. It almost makes me even want to eat pasta, even if I'm doing my Billings last diet tune-up. I think I'm going to start that on Monday. I think I'm going to do my tune-up on Monday. I always like doing a New Year's tune-up. All right. Hey, I want to talk more about this massive win for Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knute. Knutson, this phony ethics complaint that was filed against him. By the way, it was filed by some California lawyer. That's who the Montana Democrats used to launch their election interference against the best attorney general in the country, Attorney General Austin Knutson. I'll get to that story here in just a few minutes. But first, I got an alibi from the 6 o'clock hour of the show. We got a great phone call from Mike in Bozeman. We were talking about Minnesota and the $8-plus billion in fraud, predominantly coming from the Somali migrant community. You guys heard all about the Somali daycares that had no kids in them, etc. And I mentioned there was this great Babylon Bee headline. And it featured, the Babylon Bee is a satirical website, for those of you who don't know. Maybe you're new to listening to the show here in the new year, 2026, with big midterm elections coming up, etc. So the Democrat lieutenant governor, this woman in Minnesota, she dons a full hijab to virtue signal to the migrant community there in the face of all this fraud. And she just looks like a joke. I mean, it's just like, oh, my goodness, here we go. Another one of these woke white liberals donning a full hijab. And she literally looks like she is a character in The Handmaid's Tale. And so anyway, the Babylon Bee just fully exposes the absurdity and the hypocrisy of these woke white liberal women. Conservatives want women in handmaid tale outfits, declares liberal wearing hijab. And anyway, this topic came up. Scott Jennings, who does such a great job on CNN as the lone voice of reason, and he just has to put up with some of the dumbest people on the planet when he's on CNN. It's just, and I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that's what he has to do. He has to go in and cast pearls to swine every single day he is on that show. Listen to this back and forth, FoxNews.com/video, sharing this clip from CNN.
You got to admit, though, the catering to the Somali community that goes on by the Democrats in Minnesota is a little weird, is it not?
It's a very small portion
of the population. They got the lieutenant governor up there dressed like The Handmaid's Tale.
I don't think it would be acceptable for you to make a statement like that about Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn.
Right.
Why on earth is it acceptable to make a statement like that about people?
It's a white liberal woman dressing in
I'm just saying you're
saying Republicans are
singling
out
denigrating
the Democrats
religious
put them at the
practices
center
of a group.
She's
for
not
no
religious.
Reason other than the
she's not, it is
I don't care about her.
Right.
I'm talking
she's the one who did
you're
it.
Describing the type of dress as The Handmaid's
Tale. Oh, this is so comical. They did not want to allow him to make his point. That's what they were doing there. They were pretending to clutch their pearls. They were pretending to be offended by him calling this woke white liberal woman, who's not a Muslim, wearing a Muslim hijab. They were pretending to be offended by that because they wanted to shut him up. They wanted to talk over him. They didn't want his point to be made because it is such a brilliant, spot-on point. That these woke white liberal women will pretend to be anti-Handmaid's Tale, but boy, the moment they got to pander for votes to the Somali community, full Handmaid's Tale. And you heard what they did there. Oh, come on, how dare you mock that religion? And Scott Jennings was making the point that they were talking over. She is not a Muslim woman. And by the way, if anybody else did this, they would be called out for cultural appropriation. I mean, here you go. Once again, the full cast on CNN is defending the liberal lieutenant governor of Minnesota for wearing a hijab, even though she's not Muslim. Just like they looked the other way when the pretty little prime minister of Canada, Trudeau, donned blackface. Just like they get offended when you call out, you know, Elizabeth Warren for being whiter than my friend Dan in Big Timber, pretending to be Native American. They're fine with Elizabeth Warren lying about being Native American. They're fine with the female lieutenant governor of Minnesota dressing up in Handmaid's Tale to pander to the Somali community. They're fine with Justin Trudeau wearing blackface. But if anybody else did it, cultural appropriation. And why? Why are they okay with it? Because they are trying to downplay and cover up the $8 billion Democrat Party fraud scandal, Somali fraud scandal in Minnesota. Because they know it's also not just in Minnesota that, as it has been described, it is the tip of the iceberg. The Democrats are engaging in this type of fraud all across the country. And that's why they wanted to silence Scott Jennings talking about the handsmaid tale Democrats. Okay, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Here's the headline at MontanaTalks.com right now. Minnesota fraud and Montana's Max Baucus gets scrubbed. How did radical Congresswoman Ilhan Omar end up being worth millions in just 1 year? We told you recently how former Democrat Senator Max Baucus, yeah, the guy who sold us out to China, was connected with Ilhan Omar's husband's company. Well, now they have apparently scrubbed his name off of the company website after questions started being raised about how Ilhan Omar's wealth skyrocketed so significantly in just 1 year. We'll tell you more about that story with details from the New York Post and more coming up right after this.
This is House Call for Health. Staying safe on an e-bike and e-scooter. Doctors in Florida say they see injuries related to those every single day. They're sending a warning to users and potential buyers that the bikes and their injuries are more serious than you might think. Dr. Tracy Ryan works in emergency medicine at Orlando Health Bayfront in St. Pete and says e-bikes and e-scooters are like motorcycles, fast and exposed, and they're seeing a spike in injuries coming to the ER from teens and adults. Dr. Ryan says these are serious injuries, intracranial bleeds, so blood on the brain, blood on the major organs, around the heart, around the lungs, around the spleen and the liver. Very common on e-bikes. Law enforcement around Tampa Bay also dealing with these crashes and emphasizing the rules are the same as those for cars. Police recommend wearing reflective gear and having rear and front lights on the bike to make you as visible as possible to other drivers. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The top stories in 2025, what are going to be the big things that we'll be talking about in 2026? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's what we're going to be talking about through the end of 2025 and on into 2026. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. You can catch us statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m. And go ahead and message us on the Montana Talks app as well.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, USDA's Farm Service Agency announced per-acre payment rates for the one-time Farmer Bridge Assistance Program designed to help producers bridge high input costs and low commodity prices from the 2025 crop year. Eligible producers must be actively engaged in farming and have reported their 2025 planted acres by the December deadline. Now, per-acre payment rates include a few of the following crops: $20.51 for barley, $33.36 for small chickpeas, and $26.46 for large chickpeas. Corn is priced at $44.36 an acre. Lentils, $23.98 an acre. As for wheat, prices are coming in at $30.88 per acre. USDA says producers who qualify for Farmer Bridge Assistance can expect FSA to begin issuing payments on February 28, 2026. While the funding is providing $11 billion in total assistance to program crops, another $11 billion has been set aside for commodities currently not covered. USDA is continuing to evaluate other market impacts. Again, all the filing deadlines for this payment program have passed, and producers can expect those payments if they qualify and enrolled by February 28th. Contact your local Farm Service Agency office with any questions you may have. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
You know, we talk about this Minnesota fraud scandal, the Somali fraud scandal, including the Somali fraud herself, Ilhan Omar, and her connection with former Montana Democrat Senator Max Baucus. Some of you might be wondering, Aaron, why do you pronounce her name like that? Ilhan Omar. Okay. All right. Let's take a step back here for a second. Now, I do commentary, so I share opinions. I used to be a news reporter and a news producer. I went to journalism school, so there's just these habits that have stuck with me over the years, even though I've pivoted out of news and into the commentary side of the house, right? And look, if you've been trained in journalism, you have to be culturally sensitive, but only with certain groups. Other groups, you don't have to be culturally sensitive to. And so I am being culturally sensitive to Ilhan Omar by trying to use her, you know, a pronunciation. How many of you listened to the Kami Mamdani, Zoran Mamdani's speech yesterday? I know Nancy and Roundup listened to the whole thing. Did you listen to AOC, to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Did you listen to her speech? You know, Hillary Clinton, when she goes down south and shows up at a black Southern Baptist church, she gets culturally sensitive. I know it doesn't sound very sensitive, but she dons the fake accent for the whole thing. She's culturally sensitive. AOC, did you hear the way she pronounced Zoran Mamdani yesterday? See, I was just culturally insensitive. I said Zoran Mamdani. You're supposed to say Zohran. Zohran. So to Zohran. You know, and then fly away on a magic carpet. It's like a Disney movie, right? She was being culturally sensitive. I am being culturally sensitive to Ilhan Omar. It's like one of the best In Living Color episodes back in the 90s was when they would make fun of the news anchors in L.A. And they would have these news anchors, well, today on the upper south whatever side of Los Angeles, there was a fire that broke out. And that's where Juan Hernandez, you know, they overemphasize the Hispanic names with this fake Hispanic, you know, Spanish accent, right? And it's just comical. That's why In Living Color mocked it. And In Living Color could do it so well because, you know, they were a predominantly black comedy show. Like, you know, it was like the Black Saturday Night Live. It was but better than, well, SNL was great back in the 90s. I mean, could you imagine if we had to be culturally sensitive for our listeners in Butte right now? I mean, for the Serbian folks, do I have to use a Serbian accent? You know, because there are so many different cultures that made up what we now know as Butte. You know, for the Irish families, you know, when Sean Hannity, oh, it's Sean O'Hannity on the radio today. You know, you go to nerdy white guy voice to Sean O'Hannity. That's more Scottish, I guess, than Irish. But you get the point here. It's Michael Gallagher on the radio, you know. No, you only got to be culturally sensitive with some cultures. Especially and even if they're ripping you off by the tune of billions of dollars. So that's why when I pronounce Ilhan Omar's name, I'm going to be culturally sensitive. It's just a habit I picked up. And working in the news business over the years. All right, so back to Ilhan Omar and Max Baucus, the guy who sold us out to China. So the National Legal Policy Center highlighted a key portion of a recent New York Post story highlighting Max Baucus's connection to Ilhan Omar and how his name was recently scrubbed from the company website. The NLPC wrote this, the explosion of the Somali fraud scandal in Minnesota, Omar's links to the fraudsters, and the staggering amounts of taxpayer money involved raise a whole new set of questions. Here's the excerpt from the New York Post story. Between September and October, when federal prosecutors announced charges to eight more individuals, including six of Somali descent, for their roles in the welfare scheme, the names and bios of Rose Lake Capital's nine officers and advisors were removed from the website. None of them were charged in the fraud. Rose Lake Capital is the company that Ilhan Omar's husband started. All right, I'll stop being culturally sensitive for a little while. All right. Why were none of them charged? If that company was connected with the fraud, why aren't the officers? Were they advisory or were they actual officers on the board? Why aren't they being charged in the fraud? What, do they have family members that work for the Department of Justice? Oh, whoops. Here's more from the New York Post story. These names include lobbyist and former Obama ambassador to Bahrain. See, you got to use the, culturally sensitive deal there again. Adam Arelli, former senator and Obama ambassador to China, Max Baucus. DNC finance chair associate Alex Hoffman. Former DNC treasurer William Darrow. Probably got to be British. You got to say William Darrow. And former ex-CEO. A bunch of Democrats got rich off of this scam. Don't you worry. Some of the Somalis will be thrown in jail. They will face prison time. But the Max Baucuses of the world, they will get to keep their cash and their really fancy home outside of Bozeman. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. See, because they're okay with actually throwing some of the Somalis behind bars as scapegoats. And frankly, they deserve it because they committed the fraud. But can you imagine how ticked off these Somalis are going to be? They're going to be like, wait, but all these Democrats tell us, no problem. Mister, no problem. No problem. Now big problem. See, the Democrat politician, look at how many of these Somali, daycare operator owners without the kids in them were cutting checks to Democrat Party campaigns and candidates. Big checks, too, by the way. The Democrat candidates don't have to return any of the money they got. The Democrat politicians like Max Baucus, who sold us out to the communist Chinese. Remember when the COVID scam started? And if you dared criticize the communist Chinese, Max Baucus compared you to Hitler. Go to my headline about the Minnesota fraud and Montana's Max Baucus and click one of the hyperlinks in there where I talk about Baucus. You will go back and you can watch the clip where he compared Americans criticizing China and how they handled COVID-19, he compared any critics of China to Hitler. Max Baucus gets to keep the cash. He gets to keep the big fancy house that you can't afford outside of Bozeman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, give me a break. All right, let's get to the other big story. Oh, first off, let me go to the messages here on the Montana Talks app. Lori in Billings, Happy New Year to you, Lori. First message of the new year on the app. She says this, in the book Profiles in Corruption, several politicians are called out for their corruption, including Kamala Harris and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. Who do they have in common? Tim Walz. Besides, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's starting with the Somalis, but it will be found in other groups and states. Lori, thanks for that message. All right, got to get to the other big story here that I mentioned briefly in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. A massive 6-1 win for Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. This is a huge story, huge update, and kind of interesting how it came out during the Christmas holidays. A major update on this story. And the liberal media, they ran with this thing over and over. They thought they were going to use this bogus ethics complaint against Montana's attorney general to take him down in the 2024 elections. And he won the 2024 election by how many points? At least 20, maybe more. Anyway, I'll give you the update, plus reactions pouring in from several leading officials here in Montana. I'll tell you what they have to say. Plus, we'd love to hear what you have to say. 406-294-0970. And I promise no more of the culturally sensitive. Well, maybe. I can't promise, I guess.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Since we keep getting messages on the topic and we have new reaction coming from the White House, I know this topic was covered a lot earlier in the week, but there's, of course, more reaction, more information coming in here. But before I get back to this Attorney General Austin Knutson update here, this is White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt. Via Rapid Response 47. I think she was on Fox News on New Year's Day talking about the rampant Somali fraud.
Governor Walz is completely incompetent. He always has been, and President Trump has long called him out for his incompetence and his poor leadership in the great state of Minnesota. I want to commend Nick Shirley for his incredible video in real journalism that went viral this past week. He epitomizes what new media looks like, and that's exactly why we at the White House, under President Trump's direction, have embraced new media journalists like Nick Shirley. We've welcomed them in to the White House press pool. We invited Nick Shirley to brief the President of the United States at an Antifa roundtable earlier this year. And this fraud in Governor Walz's state in Minnesota is something the Trump administration has been working on since day one. And since Nick Shirley's journalism really brought this issue further to light, we have surged resources across the board to the state. So I want your audience to understand this is a top priority for the administration. The Department of Justice, as we speak, is continuing to execute search warrants and subpoenas. People will be in handcuffs as a result of the fraud that Governor Walz has allowed to occur for many, many years. The Department of Homeland Security is conducting door-to-door investigations on the ground at potential fraud sites. And they're also, of course, conducting continued deportations of illegal aliens in Minnesota's communities. We're also not afraid to use denaturalization. That's a tool at the President and the Secretary of State's disposal, and it's one this administration has previously used before. I know the Health and Human Services Department has also announced we are cutting off all child care funding to the state of Minnesota until we get to the bottom of this fraud. The Department of Labor is investigating their unemployment insurance program. The Department of USDA Agriculture, Secretary Rollins, weeks ago sent a letter to Governor Walz demanding he turn over every single name of SNAP recipients on the books in Minnesota. And the Minnesota Attorney General actually sued the Trump administration for that. What are they hiding?
Well, and I'm glad they're cutting off child care funding to Minnesota while they, you know, conduct this investigation. But it also begs the question, even if there wasn't fraud, why are we, the taxpayers of Montana, paying for child care in Minnesota? So we have to pay taxes. We have to go to work. You, some of you, are paying for child care probably right now to go to work. So what? So you can pay for somebody else to have child care? Maybe if we stopped spending so much money on all of these government programs, everything wouldn't be so damn expensive in the first place. And maybe some moms who are working right now because they feel like they have to wouldn't feel like they had to work. But see, we make everything so expensive that everybody thinks everybody has to work. And then we can't afford child care. And then we wonder why, you know, everybody is so stressed out all the time. Anyway, it's like, good night. Like, why do we have to go to work and pay for our own child care and also go to work to pay for somebody else to have their child care in some other freaking state? And then you find out they're going to a, you know, the money's going to child care facilities that don't even have kids in them. It's a gigantic ripoff. And by the way, we're still $36 trillion in debt, so we don't have money for all these things. Even if you think the government should be paying for all of these things, somebody else's daycare in some other state, we don't have the money. What else needs to be said? Okay, let's go back to this this big scandal here in Montana where the Montana Democrats basically, well, let's call out who really needs to be called out here. The corrupt justices on the Montana Supreme Court. They're the ones behind this whole deal. The corrupt justices on the Montana Supreme Court, by the way, almost all of whom had to recuse themselves from this Montana Supreme Court ruling. They're the ones who installed partisan Democrats to oversee this panel, the panel that was pushing this fraudulent ethics complaint against Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson, a Republican. So the liberal Democrat justices on the Montana Supreme Court, they picked who was on these panels. They got to pick who was in charge of overseeing the lawyers in Montana. And then what do? They go down. They go and they shake down lawyers for campaign cash, and they threaten anybody who doesn't stand with them. And so they concoct. They have one of their liberal lawyers in California file this ethics complaint against Attorney General Austin Knutson. A former Democrat Attorney General candidate is in charge of the panel that's hearing this ethics complaint. This is how phony this whole thing was. And they launched this whole ethics complaint against Attorney General Austin Knutson leading up to the 2024 elections because they wanted to try to make him look bad. They were hoping it would help Democrats retake the Attorney General's office. But instead, it backfired on, just like all the lawfare against President Trump backfired on the Democrats. Same thing happened here. But what people in Montana need to know is it wasn't just Attorney General Austin Knutson who was hit with one of these phony ethics complaints. Nearly every other Republican attorney general, at least the effective ones. See, if you're an ineffective Republican, they'll leave you alone. They are more than happy to have ineffective Republicans in office. They love ineffective Republicans because they can roll you every single time. It's the effective Republicans they really despise. It's why they hate Donald Trump so much. It's why they despise Attorney General Austin Knutson, because he was one of the most effective AGs in the country standing up to the Biden administration and their invasion and so much more. And so they had this phony ethics complaint against him. Well, the Montana Supreme Court ruling just came out, and here's what they basically ruled. The ethics complaint against him is dismissed. You notice how they released that during the holidays. I'll guarantee they did that on purpose as an olive branch to the far-left justices on the Montana Supreme Court. But they dismissed the ethics complaint against him. What else did they rule? That the due process rights of the elected attorney general of the state of Montana were violated. These liberal Democrats will whine and complain and falsely attack our ICE agents, our Border Patrol agents. They will stand up for Maryland man, who's not a Maryland man, who's actually an illegal alien, MS-13 gangbanger thug who beats his wife from El Salvador. But they stand up for him and his due process rights, even though he's been given full due process, probably more due process than any of you white folks listening to this show right now would get. They whine and complain about an MS-13 gangbanger who's getting due process, not getting due process, but yet they will violate the due process rights of the elected attorney general of the state of Montana. Where are the consequences for the people behind this fraud, behind this fraudulent complaint, behind this election interference in Montana? There needs to be consequences for Pam Buesi and everybody else who was involved in this phony ethics complaint. Now, some of you are probably saying, well, Aaron, how did the Montana Supreme Court issue a ruling like this? I mean, the Montana Supreme Court, we basically, you know, got the newly elected Chief Justice Corey Swanson. Jim Rice is getting better again. How do you get a 6-1 victory for the attorney general? Well, that's because all of the Democrats on the Montana Supreme Court had to recuse themselves from the case. Because the whole thing comes down to criticism of their rulings. And so they had to recuse themselves from this case. Newly elected Justice Bitigeri, who's a far-left activist who pretended to be conservative in her campaign commercials to get elected, she is the only one who ruled on behalf of the crooks who filed the phony ethics complaint. So that tells you everything you need to know about Justice Bitigeri and the lack of justice that you will get from her. The only reason this was a 6-1 decision is because they had to pull district court level judges up to the Montana Supreme Court level to make this ruling. And the district court judges are like, his due process rights were violated and the ethics complaint is dismissed. There was one other, I briefly scanned it's like a 150-page opinion. It's like, my goodness, we wasted all this time and all this effort. That I thought we have a backlog in the court system. I thought we have so many criminal cases that the courts need more employees, they need more staffers, they need more time because they can't handle all the caseload in front of them. But here we go, 150-page opinion, multiple district court judges taking their time on this. Chief Justice had to waste his time on this, all because the Democrats interfered in the 2024 election. So where are the consequences for those Democrats? But that's where the problem is. because the left-wing mob that still has the majority on the Montana Supreme Court will never dole out consequences for those crooks. That's why we got to elect Judge Wilson this year.
Fox Sports Update.
College football playoff semifinals are all set. Nothing easy in the Big Easy last night. A classic in the Sugar Bowl between Ole Miss and Georgia, won by Ole Miss 39-34. The Rebels, who trailed 21-12 at halftime, got a 47-yard field goal with 6 seconds to go. Ole Miss now 2-0 in this playoff tournament, set to face Miami in the Fiesta Bowl next Thursday, with the winner to play for the national championship. The other semifinal will be next Friday between Oregon and the number one seed Indiana, which won its first Rose Bowl ever, 38-3 over Alabama, the most lopsided loss by the Crimson Tide since 1998. Oregon scored a 23-0 shutout win over Texas Tech. Jordan Davison ran for 2 touchdowns for the Ducks, who back in October faced Indiana and lost by 10 points. NFL Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, who missed his team's last game because of a lower back contusion, said yesterday 100% he'll be out there for Sunday night's regular season finale against the Steelers. That will determine the AFC North champ. NBA, 6 wins in a row for the Los Angeles Clippers. Kawhi Leonard scored as many points in the fourth quarter as the entire Utah team last night. Clippers came back from 21 points down against the Jazz to win 118-101. Kawhi Leonard finished with 45 points. 36 points for Norman Powell. The Heat won their fourth game in a row, 118-112, over the Eastern Conference leading Pistons in Detroit. 4 straight wins for the Houston Rockets, 120-96 over the Brooklyn Nets. 76ers beat the Mavericks, 123-108. Tyrese Maxey scored 34 for Philadelphia with 10 rebounds and 8 assists. Celtics beat the Kings in Sacramento, 120-106. Jalen Brown scored 29. Baseball, Japanese pitcher Tatsuya Imai has agreed to sign with the Houston Astros a 3-year contract. $54 million guaranteed. Deal could be worth $63 million. It's Game On with the Fox Sports app, available wherever you download apps. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and a few showers around the area into the day today, otherwise seeing some breaks of sun later on as well. High temperature readings will stay back in the mid-upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s into the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures head back in the low to mid-30s. Then we'll see a mix of clouds and sun develop Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, if you're traveling through the holidays, through the new year, I'll tell you what, make sure you have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Heck, sometimes you'll have the button right on your dashboard in your vehicle if you have the Montana Talks app on your phone. And then you can listen to the show live. You can download podcast audio, plus get any of the news stories or commentary that we publish on the site as well. Yeah, get the Montana.
Save an additional 50% off your first month when you dial pound 250 and say the words micro. That's pound 250, micro.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me just share a few of the reactions that came in following this news of the dismissal of this bogus ethics complaint against Attorney General Austin Knutson. And then we got Don in Billings on the phone lines. Let's see here. Senator Tim Sheehy saying this. The Montana Supreme Court made the right decision, and it's good to see this politically motivated complaint finally come to a just conclusion. I look forward to continuing to work alongside Attorney General Knutson and the rest of the Montana delegation to secure a safer and more prosperous future for all Montanans. State Senator Greg Hertz at a Pulseman. It's reassuring to see the Supreme Court deliver justice in this political motive case. I look forward to working with the Attorney General Austin Knutson to build a safer, stronger future for Montana. Similar remarks here from State Senator Wiley Gault at a Martinsdale, saying he is grateful the Montana Supreme Court has ended this politically motivated prosecution. State Senator Barry Usher, I appreciate the Montana Supreme Court bringing this political prosecution to its rightful conclusion. Plus, we've got a full reaction from Attorney General Austin Knutson and much more as well. Senate President Matt Regeer, State Senate President Regeer, saying, quote, the Supreme Court's vindication of Attorney General Austin Knutson is the right decision. The process itself was weaponized as political retaliation for the AG doing his job representing the legislature, and I'm glad to see the court put an end to it. That was just part of what he had to say. Don in Billings on the phone lines. Don, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, when you went on your rant about the Somalians and the daycare being paid by our tax dollars, it's not federal government money. It's our tax dollars. I'm just curious, because it's not just going on in Minnesota. By the sounds of it, it's going on in Ohio and possibly up in Maine. So there's obviously Somalian communities in these states. Is anybody in this state getting paid subsidies for child care with my tax dollars? I'd like to know that.
Well, that's a very good question.
Nationwide?
It's a very good question. One of the reasons conservatives have been targeting that big spending bill in the legislature is that it includes state funds for daycare. And again, why are we gonna make it more expensive for people to go to work paying taxes, like to subsidize daycare? Like, frankly, it's probably not gonna lower costs for daycare to begin with. And then B, it's like, okay, so the rest of us have to go to work and pay more in taxes to pay for somebody else to get daycare? Like, how about we just get the government more out of the way instead of in the way?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I raised my kids, and my kids are raising their kids. And if any of them have to go to a daycare, they're paying for it out of their own pockets. They're not being subsidized by anybody. You know, so I'm just fed up with this whole government stuff. This thing with Knudsen, that's just the weaponization of the Democrats. They're not for anybody in this country. And what they allowed in Minnesota with the Somalians, with the money, $9 billion. I think that's bigger than the state of Montana's budget.
Yeah. I mean, we used to be a $2 billion budget, closer to a $5 billion budget. Yeah, almost twice the Montana budget, right?
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm so fed up with the Democratic Party and some of the Republicans. I'm not going to throw, because some of them got rich in Congress, too. You know, look at Marjorie Taylor Greene or Traitor Greene. You call her what she is. She's leaving her people high and dry. She's still got a year to go. She wait until the 5th of January so she can get her pension. She doesn't care about anybody. It's just, I'm just sick of the whole thing. I vote. It's just like in Billings here, the city of Billings. Buy a $46 million federal building. Where'd they get the money? I know it came from the taxpayers, but didn't they want to do a $150 million thing for the kids and the parks and stuff here a couple of years ago, and it failed miserably? Where's the city come up with the money for this stuff?
Well, and that's why people got to vote in these municipal elections. I know you do, but folks can't just wait till presidential elections to show up. They got to come out in big numbers, these midterm elections coming up this year as well. Hey, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, Don.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.